Greetings, dear viewers. So thank you for coming back to my channel yet again. I always try and wear something slightly different in each video to differentiate them. Anyway, this is about the Rwanda plan. So this was in the Conservative Manifesto 4 years ago, almost 4 years to the day since the last Westminster election in the United Kingdom. And that is to say, if people arrive illegally in the United Kingdom and then claim asylum, they would not be processed in the UK. They'll be flown to Rwanda, this Commonwealth country in Africa, and the process would take place there, the court hearings to determine whether they should be permitted to remain or not. But if so, they'd be remain in Rwanda. They would never be allowed to stay in the United Kingdom. And the UK would pick up the tab, would pay for their accommodation, food, medical care, education. Some of them are minors. And if they failed in their claims, they could be returned to their home countries or indeed seek asylum in another country. So the government was alarmed in 2019 at the rising number of people crossing the English Channel illegally on boats. Now, if you come legally and then claim asylum, that's different. Some people might have a legal right to enter the United Kingdom if they're a European Union country, or they're in a country with sort of it doesn't require a visa like the USA or Japan. Very, very few of those would ever claim asylum in the UK. Or you might be a country where you need to get a visa to come here, like Zimbabwe or Nigeria or Bangladesh, for instance, come to the United Kingdom with a tourist visa, a business visa, or indeed a student visa, and then claim asylum. So remember that there's this international convention on seeking asylum on refugees from about 1950. And there wasn't one before the Second World War, saying that anyone who has a well-founded fear of persecution at home has a right to claim asylum. So what's persecution? It could be you're going to be murdered. It could be going to be unjustly imprisoned. Not justly imprisoned. If you're rightfully convicted of a crime and go to jail, that's different. No, there's no reason to claim asylum. If you've got a well-founded fear of being discriminated against on the basis of your race, your religion, your ethnicity, your sex, your sexual orientation, and so forth, then yes, you've got a right to claim asylum. So no, it's got to be a well-founded fear. It can't be a vanishingly small one. Okay, there's some discrimination the world over. The people who are most vociferous in demanding asylum for everybody in the UK, although those ones who obviously say the UK is racist, sexist, homophobic, is just, you know, is absolutely dystopian here, which does beg the question, why on earth do so many people of different ethnicities, of different religions seek asylum in the United Kingdom if it's really hell on earth? Why do so many women come to the UK if it's so sexist? Why do so many gay people come to the UK if it's so homophobic? Why do trans people seek asylum in the UK if the UK is so transphobic? I mean, why do so many penniless people seek asylum in the UK if the UK is so bad for people on low incomes? It really disapproves the whole leftist worldview. But anyway, so it can't be a very slight risk of discrimination or something. And likewise, it has to be something substantial. It can't be like you were rejected from one job or you got slapped in the face once. Quite what the bar is debatable. It could be torture. Even if you really are a criminal, even if you really are a terrorist, and this has been found in cases in relation to people from India and Sri Lanka who've been rebelling, or indeed you might say engaging in acts of terrorism against their government, because there was a significant risk they'd be tortured in their own countries, they were allowed to stay in the United Kingdom. Notice it has to be a risk. It doesn't have to be a certainty or even a probability, but it has to be a serious risk. It can't be a very slight one. So it's got to be more than de minimis. So that was the Rwanda plan. And, you know, this plan has been going for 4 years. A couple of £100 million have been spent in it, and not a single person has been sent to Rwanda. There have been legal challenge after legal challenge, judicial review. So executive decisions can be brought to the courts to test their legality. And so the Supreme Court of the United Kingdom said that, you know, Rwanda is unsafe. They can only be sent to a safe country. Rwanda is one of the less economically developed countries in the world, precisely why they're willing to do it for not very much money. So this plan, it'd be good for Rwanda. They would make a profit out of it. It would be good for the asylum seekers because they would have a safe place to be, which is Rwanda. I support this plan. And the idea is it would be a huge deterrent. People would say, well, there is no point in crossing the channel illegally, possibly drowning, selling ourselves into slavery with these people traffickers. Because even if we get to the United Kingdom, the one surefire thing we can guarantee is we won't get to stay there. We've sent to Rwanda, which is where we do not wish to go. And some of these people have crossed a dozen safe countries to come to the UK. Why? They learn a foreign language, it's more likely to be English. Another reason is chain migration. They have a sibling or a friend in the United Kingdom already. And I think the UK's got no compulsory ID cards, because if you don't claim asylum, if you try and just blend into the community, working cash in hand, you're less likely to be picked up by the police. In every other European country except for the Republic of Ireland, A police officer can say, stop, show me your ID card or passport. You don't have one? You're coming with me to the police station until we determine your identity. So it's a crime not to carry one in a public place in most European countries. So they're more likely to evade that. And other reasons, benefits a bit higher in the United Kingdom. It's relatively prosperous. There are over a million job vacancies. You can find work legal or illegally in the UK. And asylum claims are usually granted. Something like 80% of them get leave to remain. But there's a huge backlog. So you come to the UK, you claim asylum. It takes maybe 6 months to get a hearing. If your claim is upheld, you're out of the detention centre. You're free for years, maybe forever in the UK. Could even become a citizen. If you fail, are you willing to go home? You refuse. Another appeal. That takes another 6 months. If you lose that, are you willing to go home now? No, maybe another appeal. Another 6 months. By which time you've been in the UK over 18 months. And that's fast. And then if you lose a second appeal, they'd be deported. Now, sometimes they're offered resettlement packages of several thousand pounds. Let's say 5,000 quid. Not to be sneezed at in the United Kingdom. But in a country like Afghanistan or Niger or somewhere like that, that is serious money, and that might some people would take it. But for the government, that's a saving rather than the cost of housing, feeding people in the United Kingdom, providing with healthcare, education, and so forth. And there are people like the Liberal Democrat MP, Evan Harris, said they shouldn't be held in detention centres. Seeking asylum is not a crime. Be free in the community. In which case, they'd never be rounded up, and it'd be impossible to deport them, as it is. There we go. So it's true that seeking asylum is not a crime, but entering the country legally is a crime. You can come through legal ports of entry, fly in, take Eurostar take a ferry in or drive in from the Republic of Ireland, take the train from the Republic of Ireland. Obviously, you can only do that if you get a visa in the first place. So get a visa in the first place. You can't get a visa. Well, tough. No, the United Kingdom does not have to let everybody in the world in. And so tens of thousands of people coming illegally. And Suella Braverman said, you know, most of them are illegal economic migrants. Some people want to come to the United Kingdom for a better life, for more money. That's completely respectable. I would do likewise if I were in their position, but come through the legal route. Yeah, so you can't necessarily, you don't get what you want all the time. And there's only so many people the UK can take. So some people are falsely claiming to be persecuted or fear of that just because they want to live in the UK. Often lying about their nationality. They come from a safe country, claiming to come from an unsafe country. Often they destroy their passports, so you can't prove to the contrary. And some of them who are from India were in the UK illegally for years and eventually were willing to go back. And India wasn't willing to accept them for a while because they've got no passports. We're not sure they really are Indian. And it took years to actually get people deported. But the Rwanda plan, I mean, it's not going to work, I don't think, because there'll be more legal challenges. And Suella Braverman said she anticipated that the Supreme Court would rule it illegal, and indeed she was correct. She said Rishi Sunak, he did not prepare for that eventuality. There was no contingency plan. So that was gross negligence on his behalf. And there's really just a nugatory number of people would be deported to Rwanda. But the thing is, it's supposedly just demonstrative of the UK's will to stop illegal immigration. And I heard all this bigotry and idiocy from George Monbiot, someone of a bottomless imbecility, saying, oh, this is to performatively beat up people. He's such a righteous person. What a good and giving man. I wonder why he doesn't give any money to these people. I wonder why he doesn't have any asylum seekers living in his house. It's okay. He's very rich. He inherited loads of money. It's okay for him. He's so righteous then. But, you know, immigration is a good thing up to a point. It can become a bad thing and puts pressure on public services. And I know that some immigrants can work in public services and make things better for the UK. So it's pros and cons. But if people want to immigrate, they should do it through the legal route. And no, not everybody's going to be accepted. There's only so many people the UK can accept. 750,000 people net entered the UK in 2022. The UK's population is about 70 million. So that's over 1% of the UK population in 1 year. If it carried on for 10 years, that'd be 7.5 million. If it carried on for a century, it'd be 75 million. The UK's population would more than double. And of course, where people tend to settle are the most overcrowded areas anyway. The conurbations like Glasgow, Birmingham, Manchester, London, and so forth. If they were settling in the Scots Highlands or County Fermanagh or something like that, or abandoned pit villages in County Durham, that'd be different. But that's not happening. And it's obviously driving up house prices. Like most things, that's multifactorial. Nobody's evil for coming into the UK, even illegally. That's not the worst thing to do. And I know they'll tell themselves, come on, it's a victimless crime. I'm just going to be washing dishes and picking potatoes and so on, jobs that no Briton will do. And there is some truth in that. Anyway, I just don't think it's going to get off the ground because there'll be more legal challenges to it. So it's extraordinarily expensive. So Suella Braverman said to pass not, you know, notwithstanding clauses in various acts saying, notwithstanding the Human Rights Act, this planet is lawful as going ahead. There's parliamentary sovereignty. That is a core principle of the United Kingdom's constitution, according to Albert Venn Dicey, that Vinerian professor of public law in the University of Oxford in the early 20th century. And he's the one who wrote an introduction to the study of the law of the constitution, which is regarded as a work of authority on the British constitution. And George Monbiot said, you're trying to legislate for reality, saying it's safe when it's unsafe. But wait a second, safe is something which is not provable to a degree of certitude. Relatively safe, relatively unsafe, safety and unsafety is not absolute. Safe as compared to what? There's dangers in the United Kingdom. Safe as to where these people came from before. I mean, they could go back to where they came from before voluntarily if they think Rwanda is that unsafe. I mean, I'm in principle in favour of the Rwanda plan, but I just don't think it's the right place to do it because there have been so many legal challenges. In Zambia, it'd be less likely. So there was the European Convention on Human Rights, which was ratified in 1950. The United Kingdom was instrumental in drawing that up. Pursuant to the Human Rights Act in 1998, that was incorporated into domestic British law and took effect in 2001. So judges, where possible, must judge British law in consonance with the European Convention on Human Rights. Where possible, sometimes it's impossible, and they will issue a declaration of incompatibility, which doesn't nullify the UK legislation, or indeed to suspend its operation, but merely advises Parliament of the situation, and it's up to Parliament to whether to amend British legislation or not, and they can choose not to. So the European Court of Human Rights, that sits at Strasbourg, and it is emphatically not the European Union Court. It includes about 43 European countries, from Iceland to Azerbaijan. They all have a judge in it. Even Russia and Belarus used to have on it. So it's ruled against the United Kingdom sometimes, and the UK has always adhered to its judgments, but it's got no enforcement mechanism. Because under the Ukraine war, Russia and Belarus were subject to its jurisprudence, and indeed they had a judge there. And Russia, Belarus, Turkey, and so on, Azerbaijan, they lost dozens of cases there, and they simply disregarded it. They went ahead anyway. They refused to release people who they were told to release from prison. They refused to give people fair trials. They refused to desist from torture. They refused to desist from extrajudicial killings. They refused to pay compensation, so forth. So you can break this and get away with it. And the United Kingdom is one of the few countries which has actually religiously abided by its rulings. But anyway, many of these letters would have us believe that the UK is really just infernal. And I do see these leftist protests. Open the borders, because 750,000 people coming a year isn't enough. It's got to be millions. The whole system's got to collapse under illegal immigrants. And, you know, illegal immigrants, as I say, they're not particularly bad people. Were our situations reversed, I might become one myself. But the United Kingdom's got to pursue its national interests and do what's best for its people. It does enough for people overseas. But the Rwanda plan, as I see, is inviable. And the UK government has got to think, well, what else could we be doing? Notice this is a matter reserved to Westminster. Okay, the Scottish Parliament, the Welsh Parliament, the Northern Assembly, they've got no role in this. They're all represented in Westminster. It's a Westminster matter. In these 4 years, spending a couple of hundred billion pounds, what could have been done with that time and that money for more border security, for more immigration officers, for more busts, for more court cases, more judges to deport more illegal asylum seekers, more deals like with Albania to take back people who are in the United Kingdom illegally. Right, thank you very much for watching my channel. Please subscribe to me on Patreon. Please donate on PayPal, georgecallahan79@gmail.com. Bye.